In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Back to these prayers that have the privilege of praying day in and day out in the Byzantine tradition, what we call the usual beginning prayers. The reason they're called, it's a very unusual name, but if you want to give it like a designer name, you can use the Slavonic, which is Nachalo. Say it with me, Nachalo. So when you go, to Slovakia, or even if you go to Ukrainian villages, because it's gentrifying and it's getting a little hip, if you say something like that, that'll, maybe get you half of a free drink somewhere. I really want to focus on, I spoke about the sign of the cross and how we're related to the Holy Fathers. The next phrase is actually the shortest. It's glory to you, our God, glory to you. That's what it begins at all. I'm just going to talk about that today. I want to talk to you a little bit about glory. We hear that everywhere in this church. Glory to you, O Christ, our God, our hope. Glory to you. The foundational way that we pray in the Byzantine tradition is what's known as doxological prayer, doxology. Say it with me, doxology. Comes from the Greek meaning doxa, which means glory. Yeah? Just simply means giving glory to God. Not asking anything for him, from him. That's petitionary prayer. It's very important. But the doxological character of Byzantine prayer is foundational. For how can we ask anything from the giver of all good gifts unless we first give him glory? There are two sides to this glory. First, we don't just glorify God. It's actually in a secondary sense that we glorify God. God makes his glory known in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. We call that revelation. He reveals himself, shows his face. Every morning at Matins, we sing, not during Lent because we're singing in older form, we sing, the Lord is God and has revealed himself to us, epiphanes, and has showed us light, in the Greek, has shown us his glory. Yeah. For the Lord to show his glory in the grammar of the Bible means to make his presence known, his kavod, his weight. That's what kavod means, a heaviness. And this is rather important. Because God's beyond this world. And so being beyond this world, he's ineffable, invisible, incomprehensible, and he shouldn't be subject to weights and measures, if that's how we define God. And yet, he makes his glory, his kavod, his heaviness known. And when his glory is made known, we see what happens to all the characters who have the smarts and the humility to acknowledge it. They bow down. When Jacob falls asleep in the wilderness and has a heavenly vision, a theophany, a manifestation of God, a ladder where angels ascend and descend, connecting earth to heaven, he wakes up and he builds an altar and he bows down because he recognizes that he is before the glory of the Lord. Yeah. When Ezekiel, one of the finest prophets whom we'll read all through Holy Week at the sixth hour, is the great prophet of the temple who gives us a glimpse of what he saw when the Son of Man takes him up and walks him through the temple. And so detailed is Ezekiel's vision of the temple, so up close and personal is this vision that he measures it out in cubits, down to the inch and to the centimeter. He has an experience of the Lord's glory, of his heaviness, his measure of who he is. And as we read in the 44th chapter of Ezekiel, how many times during Marian feasts, and there I bowed down. quite literally in the Bible, and I put my face fell. My face melted off before the Lord's glory. Pipto prosopon. My face fell off before the Lord's glory. Yeah. God's glory will accompany his messengers as he does to Zechariah in Luke 2, where he is offering incense and his time to offer sacrifice. The great high priest Zechariah will be in the temple, and the messenger of the Lord will come, and the glory of the Lord will fill the Holy of Holies. And he was afraid. He was in awe. He was in trembling. Yeah? Glory is the way by which God shows us his weight. But we give glory to God. I will sing to the Lord, for he is gloriously triumphant. Moses will lead the Israelites in singing on the other side of the Red Sea after they cross dry shod. Horse and rider, he is dashed into the sea, for he is gloriously triumphant. He's glorified, greatly glorified. We'll punctuate that song. The three holy youths in the midst of the furnace will glorify the very presence of God that protects them from the seven times hotter than usual fiery furnace. And they'll say, praise and exalt him, glorify him above all forever. We glorify God. When we glorify God, when we go, doxa si o theosimon doxa si, glory to you, our God, glory to you, or doxa patri keio kagio pneumati, glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, now and ever and forever. Amen. All we are doing is acknowledging the doxa that's been revealed to us, the very weight of the Lord. We're basically saying the Lord exists. And how important it is to remind ourselves of the Lord's existence, to break us out of our limited frame of vision and show us how wide and how deep it actually is. To live with a world, with a glorified God in it, will change the way we look at the world. If we acknowledge his glory, it's a way of saying hello. Yeah. I was my first time in New York walking the streets of Manhattan. I was with a local New Yorker. I'm not a local New Yorker, and I let that be known. You know why? Because I said hi to strangers, which is, some may think, is a character flaw, but certainly in Manhattan, you're liable to get shot. And he said, what are you, from the Midwest, saying hi to strangers? It's a beautiful thing that we aren't pressured by the busyness of the large urban existence that is city living, that we can look up, acknowledge somebody, and say hello. Whiting's great for that. You walk on the streets, everybody feels like the mayor because you're waving to friends. And when you acknowledge somebody's existence with a hello, you're bringing them out of invisibility. Your hello could change the way they think about themselves. Because maybe they haven't been noticed all day. Maybe they're down and out. And you can pull them out of invisibility into being acknowledged by just acknowledging their presence with a simple hello. Now, God is not down and out. But he gives us the gift of glory to summon to our minds his invisible presence. In the Katavasya at Matins at the end of Ode 1, it's one of our favorites. I will open my mouth and it shall be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I will offer my praise to the Queen Mother. I will celebrate in joy, for in rejoicing he has shown me his wonders. Yeah? The gift to be able to give glory to God is a gift that the Holy Spirit fills in our mouths to be able to do. And we can glorify the Mother and all the angels and saints surrounding his glory, because they're interconnected. They interpenetrate each other. It's all okay. And it makes this otherwise absent and invisible God visible once more, at least to our minds. And even to our senses, when we receive him in the sacraments, we glorify those indeed too. Yeah. This fights against a rather pernicious disease that all of us are susceptible to, because this is the world we live in. It's actually very, from the book of Genesis, this propensity toward idolatry, choosing false gods. But we suffer from a cancerous mind virus called moral therapeutic deism. That's a complicated phrase, so we'll say it again. Moral therapeutic deism. Some of the tenets of this moral therapeutic deism, it's the way we envision God. We think of him as this guy who generally created all things, who has some responsibility in human affairs. And this God creates the kind of world that doesn't matter what you do, as long as you're a good person, however vaguely so defined, all dogs will go to heaven. Even your Facebook enemies, they'll make it there. That's not the God that we glorify. He's a lot more specific. He's a lot more personal. He's a lot more interactive. He wants more of us than just the general acknowledgement that he consists. But as T.S. Eliot tells us in the Four Quartets, he wants nothing short of everything. Every decision brought across the acknowledgement of his glory and whether or not that decision will glorify God. Every step, every issue, every trouble, trial, and distress brought across his face, his glorious face, so that we can negotiate how best to move forward so as to glorify God. Without proper, regular acknowledgement of his glory, with a simple glory to you, our God, glory to you, doxa si, O Theosimon, doxa si, slava tebi, hospodi, slava tebi, whatever language you want. Randy might give it to you in Arabic. Where are they? They're lost, I see. Okay, I was hoping for the kiddos to give us an Arabic lesson, but that's okay. Yeah, all right. Listen, this is the time of glory in which we feel the Lord's weight pressing upon us. Don't let anything get in the way of acknowledging that glory, especially this daily opportunity to bring the invisible, ineffable, but all-powerful God intimately into our lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.